The Old Testament is from Ezekiel chapter 2. He said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet and I will speak with you. And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me. And he said to me, Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to the nations of rebels who have rebelled against us. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. Their descendants are also impudent and stubborn. I send you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord. And whether they refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I must go on boasting, for there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in body or out of body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up in the paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weakness. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, and I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from being too elated by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me, and he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may be set upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. Jesus went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were astonished, saying, Where did this man get these things? What is this wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown, and among his relatives, and in his own household. And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went among the villages teaching. And he called the 12, began to send them out 2 by 2, and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and to not put on 2 tunics. And he said to them, Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you, and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent, and they cast out many demons, and anointed with oil many who were sick, and healed them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson from Mark. I mentioned the last couple of weeks as I've been preaching on Mark that the theme of Mark is, Who am I? It's a very fast-moving gospel. Take it back a couple of weeks. Jesus was in the Decapolis, Gentile territory. Then immediately he sails across the Sea of Galilee. We have the storm on the Sea of Galilee. And then, last week, he healed Jairus' daughter and the woman with the blood flow. Then, we start today's gospel, he's on the move again. I don't think you'd want to be one of the disciples of Jesus and say, Can we have a day off, Lord? Because it always seems to me, and then, and then, and then, and then. That is the theme of Mark. Who am I? Because he's got to get out there and ask, who am I? So he's traveling around preaching to the people. As I said, this happens immediately after the healing of Jairus' daughter. Nazareth is a town of about 300 people when Jesus was there. He grew up there. They knew him well. In the gospel lesson, they even knew his brothers and sisters, meaning the family was still there. We also know from archaeology that Nazareth was a farming community. They had their own wine press, which, by the way, was a symbol of wealth for a community, to be able to make your own wine, because you had stability, you had good ground. You find a wine press, you know you found a more prosperous area. Prosperous doesn't necessarily mean wealthy, it just means that they weren't a dirt poor region. Now, as per family tradition, Jesus goes to the synagogue on a Saturday. It says, and he got up to speak. In a synagogue, it's very different when the service gets to the sermon. The sermon is just a few minutes long. You're going, well, can we have that? All right, but it's not one of the focal points of the service. It's very short. You read a passage, you make 2-3 comments, you move on. Their focus is on the reading of Scripture and on prayer. Actual application of it, well, that's up to you to figure out yourself. So only somebody who was trained or somebody who was recognized as being knowledgeable was allowed to read. So they chose Jesus. Obviously, they knew he was something special. They were amazed. They thought they had known him, but we don't know exactly what he read. We don't know exactly what he said, but he gave some great insights into the scripture he was reading. And I'm sure the people are going, where's the Jesus that we knew? Now, the healings had taken place about 30 miles from here. Even though it's 30 miles in a time period without mass communication and vehicles, information has a habit of traveling. It travels with merchants, it travels with other people. It would still travel, maybe not as fast, but the people of Nazareth knew of his healing. He's more than a carpenter. He spoke a few truths to them that day. But isn't he just a repairman? Somebody who works on furniture, buildings. Of course, when I said Nazareth was a more of a prosperous town, there would have been more building projects for Jesus to work at before he began his earthly ministry. A good old Satan seems to be rearing his head, and I'm reading into this, but I wonder if some of them are thinking, how is this carpenter telling me how I should be living? Well, Jesus is a repairman. It's exactly what he is. He repairs the body through the miracles. He repairs the soul. And the miracles prove that he could do all those things. So he is a repairman. He takes care of the body, and he takes care of the spiritual. The ultimate repairman. He puts the universe back together. By the way, there's a bit of an insult here in the gospel lesson that you may not have picked up. I'll ask you this question. How do they describe Jesus? It's in your bulletin. See, it's so simple, we miss it today. He's the son of who? But does it say that in the quote? No, they just say the son of Mary. In that culture, you were Jewish through your mother. But when you were referred to as a person, you were, it should have been, Jesus, son of Joseph. They're calling into question Jesus' parentage. You see where the people's anger is beginning to grow? Now they're beginning the subtle insult. See, today when we subtly insult somebody and they catch it, oh, I didn't mean anything by that. I didn't mean that. I wonder if the people would have said the same thing to Jesus. But it's a subtle insult to Jesus. Excuse me. They're looking for anything, anything to reject the wisdom that he's teaching. And then they mention his brothers and sisters. You were a kid in this town. How can you possibly be anything today that's above us? They took offense. And Jesus said, a prophet without honor. That expression appears in ancient writings about 200 years before Jesus, that even all the other Old Testament prophets had no honor in their own hometown. Which, by the way, as modern-day clergy, one of the hardest things to do is to preach in front of my own family. Because sometimes the lessons are a crack between the head or between the eyes. And it's very hard to get up there and admit. No, just trust me, it is. Plus, they know me at home. Oy vey is the answer to that one. All right. It says in our gospel lessons that Jesus can only do a few miracles in Nazareth. And there's many theories on why that is true. But we know that he is both 100% God and 100% man. His actions never depend on what we have done first. It wouldn't be grace if it was. So the people did not have to do something first before he would heal them. It's not even the amount of faith that they had, that they had to hit a certain level of faith before he would heal them. Because remember the man that said to him, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. He talked about the weakness of faith being like a mustard seed, the smallest of all seeds. And when it grows up to be a large tree where the birds can nest there. Jesus had compassion. Many times we read this in the gospel lessons, the compassion he had. And certainly he had compassion on his own hometown. But not everybody was pleased with him. There's that old comedy, Life of Brian. There's a scene in there, Michael Palin, he's a leper that Jesus heals. So Jesus heals this leper, and then the leper's mad at Jesus. Sorry. That is allergies. That's nothing else. I went to the doctor, got a clean bill of health. I got my COVID-free test. Anyway, he complains to Jesus, complains about Jesus, that Jesus ruined his business. He had this great begging business going on, and not only is he healed of a beggar, he's going to do something terrible. Get a job. All right? This is the idea of finding reasons to complain about Jesus. Jesus created us with free will. We have the free will to ask for help. By asking for help, let's try again. By asking for help, we're showing our faith. And it says he was amazed at their lack of faith. I think this is the only place in Scripture where Jesus is ever taken aback or amazed at anything. Everything else he seems to take in stride except this one. This one amazes him. He's got so much work to do and so little time. So to get more work done, he sends out the 12, two by two. And the reaction of a lot of the villages where they would go, it's recorded in John chapter 1, the epistle, John chapter 1, that they were rejected. Jesus puts his recruits to work to show them how difficult the work is going to be. By the way, they traveled two by two, not just for protection, but as a legal witness. In Judaism, for something to be considered true, you had to have two witnesses. Two witnesses that said the same thing, that this event happened. Take that to Jesus' trial. Remember when the Sanhedrin, the ruling council, was calling witnesses against Jesus, it says they could not even find two that could agree on what he said about the temple. So you need two of the disciples to go out to tell the people in the villages, yes, this truly happened. They are to take nothing. The task is urgent. Boy, could I make a good joke about it? They couldn't have any women disciples, because you imagine, you got to travel lightly, dear? No, less than 6 suitcases. Remember, there is a female disciple when he says, "Surely, surely, I say unto you." All right, I've used that one up. Excuse me. Now, by the way, the disciples were not the only ones at this time period that traveled around as traveling preachers. There was a group called the Cynics. They basically had their message, life stinks, now deal with it. By the way, cynics, we use the term cynic today for somebody cynical. It comes from the word dog. It's an insult. So when somebody's a cynic, in reality, you're insulting them. So just file that away for your little insults you can dig on somebody without them knowing what it is. You're calling them nothing more than a dog. And I know you dog lovers are going, "But my dog..." It's an insult in this culture. So, but the disciples' message is not, life stinks, deal with it. Their message is, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And if they were not received by a village, they were to shake off the dust on their feet. When Jews traveled for business or other reasons, and they crossed into Gentile territory, when they left Gentile territory, just before they got to the land of Israel, they would take their sandals off, dust them, because they didn't want that polluted Gentile soil excuse me, to be in the promised land. Comment on this overall section. Sometimes this passage is taken as condemning a portion of people to hell. And you're going, what? Because many rejected and many accepted. People reject the word of God because of free will. They choose to reject it. They make a decision in their own mind whether or not to reject. By the work of the Holy Spirit, we believe. We do not accept. So the ones in Nazareth who rejected Jesus, it's their own fault. Scripture tells us that God would have all to be saved. I just bring this up because as I was reading through the commentaries on it, they kept bringing this up as far as, does that mean the one in Nazareth were determined, were predetermined to go to hell? By the way, you never know the reaction you're going to get from people when you share the gospel. Church pastor records that he sent out 24 people, 12 pairs, and he gave them routes to go. And he said, just knock on the door, tell them who you are, your church, hand them this pamphlet, ask them if they got any questions, and go on. Pretty simple. So then they all get back together and they report what had happened. And they found out there were 3 basic reactions. Not interested, very grumpy, or barely interested at all. So did those 24 fail in their job? No. Their job was to share the word. The disciples did not fail in their job. They shared the word. Throughout the rest of Mark, Jesus is going to be traveling very quickly, spreading the gospel. He never stays in one place that long because the gospel message is that important. He's got to reach as many people as he can. And I pray that we have the same attitude, that we've got so many people we have to reach with that message. It's the only message that the world needs. You know, you look at the news and you think this country is a mess. I'm assuming just about every hand would go up. This country is a mess. All right, and it has been a mess for a while. All right, but the only thing that's going to fix it is Jesus Christ in it. And it's going to be our job to be that light to the world. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.